leading off with the big story of the day. Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Palumbis and D-Man.
Hey, Philip. Two questions here. One, those guns look a little bigger. What the
heck? Yeah, I gained about
10 pounds of muscle?
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Ladies, you're welcome.
My name's Phil Lindsay. I'm from Colorado. Went to Colorado.
Oh, Lord. Okay, I'm walking up
the
key.
There's you walking in the crib and everything.
Let's go, let's go, let's go, Mama Hamler.
Let's go, let's go,
let's go. Let's get it today. Wow, man, I tell you what. Remember when it snowed out? It's summertime again.
I know, it's beautiful, man.
Are you kidding me? I did a power hour on the bike today, Tyler, around the reservoir.
Nice. Good for you.
That's a great ride, man. Just freaking go as hard as you possibly can around Cherry Creek.
That's it's a good ride. It's a fun ride.
It
I like that.
Ride. You go downhill for a good chunk, and then you're like, hey, I got to go. Oh. Mama got to go up the hill.
When
let's
you go, downhill.
Let's go.
Turns you. You know what? I should have learned my lesson by now. The first 5 minutes of the show, I shouldn't talk. Those things, pew, 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 pew.
Victory!
Oh, no.
Once you go downhill, you got to go up, man.
I know, but that's the whole challenge. It wouldn't be fun if you just were just downhill or flat.
Right.
You need to feel like you're doing something.
No, you're looking good, though, man. Good for you.
Feeling good. Feeling great, actually. And
you got the Andy Reid Hawaiian shirt on.
What do you think? I mean, I was trying to figure out what I was going to wear in here.
I was trying to figure out if there was a rhyme or reason. It feels a little bit out of place, but
look outside.
Sure.
It's like 70 degrees in late October.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I had on like a hoodie and heavier clothes and stuff earlier today, and it just, I don't know, it just got nice.
I do have the long sleeve on right now, and I'm hot.
It was all right this morning. It's 70 degrees, man. It's gorgeous.
We got to start the show out today with a nice little happy birthday shout out to my daughter. My daughter, Lydia. Happy 8th birthday to her. She's the best. She is awesome. Happy 8th birthday, and we will celebrate tonight.
What'd she want it for her birthday? What 8-year-olds ask for their birthday?
I mean, they ask for all kinds of stuff.
A
beanbag. She wanted a beanbag chair for her room, okay. A nice little reading chair.
Right.
Grandpa got that. She got some LOL dolls. She got...
That's great.
We'll see what my dad brings. He's got something coming this way tonight. She had a nice little
day. Oh, man, that's so great. You know, the kids get older, they ask for cars.
Yeah. She pretty much, they already asked for cars. They ask for new, like, little four-wheelers and ATVs all the time.
Oh, really?
Not, like, real ones, like the Power Wheel version.
How much do those run?
Oh, they're not cheap, like
$250,
something like that.
Yeah, as the kids get older, the gifts become fewer, but so much more expensive. It's a bit ridiculous. Well, that's awesome. Happy birthday to Lydia. And it stinks during COVID times. You're not having like a party or something like that, are you? Anything?
We did a little get together with the cousins.
Oh, okay.
And so we already did that, but we did that last weekend, and all the cousins came over, which we've got 14 cousins
that's
in the family.
Right. That's the group.
We don't really do birthday parties in my household because there's 14 cousins. That's all the party you need.
Gotcha. Yeah, it sounds plenty.
Yeah.
So you told me how many Palumbuses are there around the Thanksgiving table.
That's right.
It's intimidating.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, happy birthday to her. That's awesome. Today was interesting, wasn't it, with all this the COVID stuff. Sometimes I think a lot about the COVID stuff. Sometimes I don't pay it any attention. But today, in the world of sports, the Chargers offensive lineman Ryan Groy, backup right guard, test positive. So, okay, here we go. Here we go with the Chargers, right? What does this mean? Where is this going to go? You know, we didn't even talk about Mike Munchak being isolated for possible COVID reasons.
Right,
nor did
we
really discuss yesterday the extreme protocols the Broncos are going through these days. And So we'll see. You know, we're going to talk to Daniel Popper, who's the Chargers beat writer for The Athletic. He'll be on with us in about 7 minutes. What are your concerns here right off the bat when you hear news like this?
I'm not overly concerned. I think what we've learned from the NFL is that the operation's going to go on. You know, when the first outbreaks came about, there were delays. They moved games about. And all of a sudden the next week with the same team with even more cases with the Patriots, it's like, well, we can't move this game twice. So I guess we'll just go ahead and play. Business will go on. Last week, the Raiders had their entire offensive line was quarantined. They played the football game. They all came out of the COVID list and played the game. I've got no concerns whatsoever about the game getting moved. I expect it to just go on business as usual.
Well, I was out there today. You know, I was.
Star of the day, who will it be?
It was me.
Your vote may hold the key. It's up to you.
Yeah.
Tell us who will be star of the day.
First of all, the weather was so nice out there. I gotta tell you, man, when you go through football season weather, I'm going to guess a day like today is probably just, if it's not the best kind of day to be out there playing football, I'm not exactly sure what it would be. I don't know if you want it a little brisker or colder, but right around 65,
oh, it's perfect.
Sunny,
it's perfect.
Just like
that's why, yeah, that's why playing in Seattle was amazing, because training camp was like 70 degrees on the dot,
yeah.
Never too hot, never too cold.
Right, right.
It was just perfect. And yeah, today it's awesome.
Felt like football. It just felt like fall. It just felt just great. And there just seemed to be a little hop in the step. There was an interesting moment. Just at the very beginning of practice after stretch today, the team gathered round. And, you know, I only get to be star of the day one day a week. But they probably have a variety of players break them down, Tyler, for whatever reason, or coaches break them down before they go off and do their stuff. Today was Patrick Morris.
Nice.
Patrick Morris.
That a baby?
Like a reserve deep on the bench, practice squatty, who knows, barely on the team.
Sure.
Guy. But it was like a real cool, impassioned, you know, don't let the ball hit the ground. Let's go, blah, 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 you know.
He gave a speech before the practice?
It was, yeah.
That's weird. I've never heard of a speech before practice.
No, they do it. I mean, they kind of get.
Are you talking about just a breakdown, or are you talking about a speech?
Well,
there's a huge difference between just everybody. All right, team on three, one, two, three, team.
Oh, no, no, no. It was well beyond that.
All right.
No, it was. Oh, okay. So maybe I saw something a little bit unusual.
I definitely did not ever have speeches before practice.
Oh, it was definitely like a gather around, rah, rah, we're proud of you, we're in this together, let's go sort of moment.
Maybe it was his birthday.
Maybe it was his birthday. I really don't know. I mean, it caught me enough by surprise that I was like, wait, who is that? Like, it wasn't just somebody that, you know, leapt off the page, nor was it a coach.
Okay.
All right. I don't know. I didn't think it was maybe that unusual, but.
I mean, I don't have anything. I'm not breaking it down. I'm not reading into it.
I just thought it was cool that it was Patrick Morris. I mean, it's a guy that's not even on the active squad.
Sure. Cool.
Although somebody snidely came up to me and goes, well, is that the biggest leader on the team right now? Is that what we got? I'm like, oh, you're so cynical, man. So I don't know. I don't know exactly who the leaders of this team are.
I'm sure if they do that, I'm sure it's just a rotating cast every single day.
That would seem to make sense.
Yeah, for sure. Patrick Morris was not getting up there to give some sort of speech on his own. It was just a rotating cast. I don't know what they're doing, but I'm very confident in that.
Anyway, it wasn't a bad thing. It was just like, although sure. there's a little, hey, listen, there is definitely a little, our backs are against the wall. It's us against the world. Nobody believes in us. You get that every year with teams that are on the brink of saving a season or spiraling downhill. It happens every single year to every single team that's in the Broncos situation.
Well, you are definitely in that spot. I mean, you know, likelihood of you salvaging the season is very low, but you could have some respect and you could have some fun and you could enjoy your work. And it's hard to enjoy work unless you find a way to win some football games. So you might as well enjoy work. Go win some football games.
Chargers, Falcons,
are you
Raiders,
do this thing? You
Dolphins.
Do this thing again. Are you gonna do this thing again?
I mean, we are here. We are. We're here.
It's so cute when you do this.
We're here. We're at the part of the season that we've been sort of waiting to get to.
I love when you do this.
We're here.
You did it with the Chiefs last week. It was fun.
Well, I'm just telling you, we're here.
We're here. Yeah, we're here. Sure.
I mean, look. Titans, they're great. Steelers may be the best team in
football.
What
are we doing right now? What are we Buccaneers. Doing? What are we doing?
First,
listen, you got to play the Chargers. You got to beat Justin Herbert. How about that?
I get it. But look at the first three teams of the season the Broncos lost to.
Okay.
All going to be great teams. All are great teams.
Okay.
Arguably, the Steelers and the Bucs and the Titans, arguably three of the top maybe five teams in the league.
And your point?
And the Chiefs. Throw the Chiefs in there, too.
And your point?
Look at that, man. Look who we have lost to. Like four of maybe the top five teams in the game right now.
And your point?
I'm optimistic.
About what? What does that mean?
I'm just saying the battle the Broncos have had, it has not been an easy road.
It's not been an easy road, but
there we go.
Man. This season is not about anything other than just getting things right for me, man. I mean, I just want to see Drew Lock play better football. I just want to see the offense come around. I just want to see by the time you get to the end of this season, you've got a competitive, healthy football team that you know that Drew Lock is the guy. And if I know that much, I will count this season as a success.
Well, I'll tell you this. We should know a lot by these next four games. Because these are teams that are in the same spot as the Broncos. The Broncos should not only be competitive, but beat. I'm excited for the next month of football, for sure. Very excited for it. Can't wait for it. And if it's our backs are against the wall, it's us against the world, nobody believes in us, okay. Hey, man, if that works, it works. There are doubters about the Broncos. I was watching Jeff Saturday a couple days.
You're very confusing to follow.
Why?
I can't figure you out.
What are you talking about?
I mean, this feels like a hype train right now. What are you trying to say?
I'm feeling good.
Are you
good?
Trying to say the Broncos are a good football team? Are you trying to say Drew
we'll
Locke's
see.
Okay?
We'll see.
What do you
we'll
say? Say what you're saying.
I don't. I'm not sure. But we'll find out. And we have the right competition over the next month to find that out. But first, let's go to the Fireball Hotline. Daniel Popper, the Chargers beat writer from The Athletic, joins us. Hi, Daniel. How are you?
I'm good, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, update us with what's going on there in Charger land.
Yeah, so late last night, Anthony Lynn said it was around midnight, he got word that they had a positive test for COVID-19. And just about 20 minutes ago, half hour ago, they placed Ryan Groy, who's been their starting right guard with Trey Turner out, on the reserve COVID list. We got to chat with Anthony Lynn for about 10 minutes earlier today. He believes they have the situation contained. He sent all the players home this morning after they realized they had a positive test. He said a couple players showed up to the facility, but they sent them back and had virtual meetings. They then proceeded to cancel practice. Still up in the air about what's going to happen on Friday. The hope is that they have this thing contained and that they can get back on the practice field tomorrow and then have a longer practice on Saturday than they typically would before flying out to Denver. But we'll see at this point. It's obviously a very fluid situation, and it's still developing even as we head into this afternoon.
So only one positive case, right? A little bit surprised to hear they canceled practice. It feels like other teams have just been sending that one guy home and they carry on business as usual.
Yeah, well, the Chargers have been really prudent in their protocols, and I think that's the reason why up to this point they were the only team in the league without a positive COVID test. All through training camp in the season. Their mask compliance is excellent. They've really stuck to these protocols that they laid out before heading into training camp. So I think they're just trying to get ahead of it. The issue with this virus is there's no way to tell when exactly Ryan Groy got it. And he played virtually the whole game on Sunday, and he was around other players. So we've even saw on the injury report that was released, within the last half hour, that there were three players that wouldn't have practiced today for non-injury reasons. The implication there is that they were within close contact to Ryan Groy. And then you look back to sort of what happened with the Raiders. Obviously, yeah. Trent Brown tested positive, and then they had to send their entire starting offensive line home. So you're trying to avoid that type of situation, especially for a Chargers team that's already very injured on the offensive line. And frankly, if they didn't have their starting offensive line, they probably wouldn't be able to play the game. So I think it's just being extra cautious. I don't think you can be too cautious with this kind of situation. Obviously, you want to get the practice time in, but, containing this outbreak before it reaches levels of potentially canceling the game or forcing something of that nature is obviously something that the Chargers are looking to do in a situation.
Daniel, what is your understanding of COVID positive tests in terms of delaying games? What does that look like?
So at this point, it doesn't seem like the NFL is considering it. I think you'd have to have a more extensive outbreak than just one player to push the game. But like I was saying earlier, you know, you don't know sort of how much this has affected, how many players this has affected, how many coaches this has affected, until you sort of get another round of testing done.
I guess that's where I'm going. Is it three players, four players? I mean, what's your understanding of what it would take to delay the game, push the game Monday, Tuesday, whatever sort of thing?
Yeah, I think when you sort of get into that range of four or five players, it starts becoming labeled as an outbreak, and then the NFL would sort of have to consider, pushing the game. Obviously the Broncos already went through this with the Patriots. And if I'm not mistaken, the Patriots only had, two or three positive tests when that game got pushed. You guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but
that's about
it's sort of a situation. Yeah, it was sort of a situation where, when it gets to multiple players, you're going to have to look into potentially pushing the game, because one team is down five players because of a COVID outbreak. You run into potential, competitive balance issues and that sort of thing. But, it's a very fluid situation. They're going to have to wait for these tests to come back. There's no telling that it's only one player. One player has tested positive right now, but they don't know who else could have been infected. Obviously, they've done contact tracing. The Chargers are one of the teams. They wear these bracelets all around the facility. If you come in contact with somebody within 6 feet of somebody who's not in your tier, then, an alarm starts going off. So they've been on top of this stuff, and they're able to sort of track down, okay, who was Ryan Groy around? Who else needs to isolate so they can sort of contain it? And like I said earlier, Anthony believes that they've done that with their contact tracing to contain it. But we really won't know until the tests come through. It takes up to 24 hours for these test results to come back. And so then you can sort of determine, okay, is it actually contained? They can believe it's contained, but until they get negative tests, they can't confirm that.
All right, Daniel, we really appreciate the update. We have been through this, Daniel, and it sucks because you get all ready for something and it gets pushed off, and it stunk. I'm not going to lie to you. And the Broncos have a little bit of a worry, too, because their offensive line coach, Mike Munchak, is in the COVID protocol right now, and the Broncos are on, they're practicing, but boy, you should see practice with everybody wearing a mask out there and shields, and it's crazy. So let's cross our fingers and hope for the best, Daniel. We appreciate the update.
Thanks, man.
Absolutely, guys.
All right, Daniel Popper on the Fireball Hotline. It was, like I said, I only get to go out there once a week. It was the first time I've seen players with helmets on and masks.
Yeah.
It was weird.
And they're mostly offensive linemen, right? Is that what you were saying?
I thought it was only going to be offensive linemen, but it was like scattered. In fact, it was weird. I was like, well, what's the deal here? Like, do you have to or do you not have to? Because it wasn't just everybody and it wasn't all offensive linemen.
I don't think they have to, but I think it's just hit that point of the year where you're starting to see more and more guys pop up every time you flip onto Pro Football Talk. You're reading about another team that has got the virus, and I think guys are just being cognizant right now. They don't want to miss time.
I think it's like when you take your helmet off, you've got to put the mask on. You don't have to have the mask on, I guess, when you have your helmet on, but some guys just kind of kept their mask on even though they had the helmet on. So maybe that's where the wiggle room is, just, however you personally feel safe. It's not violating any protocols. It's just individuals sort of going above and beyond what they necessarily have to do.
Were they in pads?
They were in shells.
I mean, does shells, do you mean uppers?
Or uppers. Is that,
okay.
Uppers, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I rarely see them in full pads.
Oh, yeah. I mean, very rarely at this point. You don't wear full pads very often at all.
Why do you ask?
Well, I was just curious if they were not in pads, then that makes it a little bit easier to put the mask on. But if they were in pads and wearing the mask, that is interesting to me. That's pretty much full go practice.
I think it was a full go. I mean, everything they were doing looked like a full go practice, that's for sure. So, I mean, it was a full go practice. The thinking of what they were doing, what I was able to watch, special teams, a lot of special teams.
Nice. Yeah. Tom McMahon yelling at anyone?
Oh, man. Tom McMahon, he's killing it. He's got it. He's crushing it, man.
Did he get it fixed?
It's all fixed.
Nice.
It's done. Any issues we've had in special teams is over. And, you know, Bryce Callahan and KJ Hamler, can't wait to see those guys take him to the house. What else we got? I saw Vaughn was there without a boot.
No boot.
No boot. No boot Coach, for Vaughn.
Coach Fangio said that he talked to Vaughn yesterday, and Vaughn said he was going to have to wear the boot for another week, and then he showed up without the boot.
No boot.
So that's cool.
I thought it was relatively healthy overall. I did see Drew Locke throw a I saw him dirt one. I don't even know where I put that. You'd think I'd have my
Blake Bortles.
My Blake Bortles drops together. It was bad. Oh, here it is. It's like, oh, that's a 10-yard slant you just threw into the dirt, that guy's feet. Like, ah. That was the only one I saw.
That's not good. That's not good.
I've watched a lot of NFL practices, man. You just don't see that.
Especially during pat and go, which is what you were watching.
Yeah, that's right.
You're just watching them run routes on air. That's it.
Yes, I was.
Yeah. Nice little easy warm-up, man.
Just. And then he threw the next one just, well, sort of fine. Actually, it was a little high.
Kind of like D-Mac on the bike.
Then I saw our guy. Let it rip, let it fly. Throws a good ball.
Oh, what are you saying? Let it rip,
let it fly. Giving you some observations, that's all. It's telling you what I saw today. We got some fun water cooler stuff to go through. There's a Jonas Brothers way to snap out of things. That's right. We are this close to getting Bachelorette updates. The drive on the fan.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
It's time to take a trip to the water cooler.
Is this good for the company?
We need to talk about your TPS reports.
Did you see the memo about this?
We find it's always better to fire people on a Friday.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
Here's Tyler and D-Mac.
What would you say you do here?
Dan Orlovsky from ESPN will join us in about 15 minutes.
Nice.
Talk about Drew Locke. He was not so high on his footwork.
Number two, his feet. His feet sometimes are all over the place.
All right, so we'll find out more from Dan Orlovsky a little bit later on. All right. There are some stories that get the attention of our guy, Richie, our producer, more than other stories. Anything to do with boy bands, Tyler, there's just not many fellas out there that own white suits.
Right.
But Richie's one of them.
98 degrees, you know. Is that up there? Where's 98 degrees fall on your list, Richie?
I think he's got an O-Town t-shirt.
O-Town, wow. See, that one, I forgot about that one, but that's a nice poll there.
Never mind the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC. I mean those are classics, givens, right?
Right.
But the Jonas Brothers are high on his radar. Hey, Richie, how did you even come across this story?
It was on Twitter.
He posted, on what Twitter?
I think it was from his Twitter and somebody retweeted it. I don't follow
him. Who retweeted it?
I'm not going to lie. I definitely saw it. It was all over Twitter.
Thank you.
All right.
I would give a little bit of break on this one. It was everywhere.
It wasn't because you follow Nick Jonas.
No, the Jonas Brothers were, like, I was a little too old, I feel like, when they were, I mean, that was like my younger sister's big band. I was Backstreet Boys and NSYNC. Oh. That was my thing.
Right. Well, I follow him, so that's why I saw it.
You follow Nick Jonas. Here's the Jonas Brothers sports conspiracy theory.
So, the Dodgers won the World Series last night, and yet no one is talking about the very, very obvious theme here. To fully understand this conspiracy, we have to back things up to September 22nd, 2019. That is the date of the Jonas Brothers show in Kansas City, Missouri. You know who was at that show? Patrick Mahomes. Cut to a few months later, Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs won Super Bowl 54.
Is this just how it's going to go, the whole thing?
Oh, keep going. Keep going.
Keep going.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Next up, December 10th, Arizona. Who was there, you might ask? Oh, Cody Bellinger. Cut to October 27th. The Dodgers win the World Series. Now, last but not least, certainly not least, Lewis Hamilton. Attended the Jonas Brothers concert in Paris on February 22nd. Just last week, he won his 92nd Grand Prix, the most of all time.
Oh, my God.
Well, you got to get to the conspiracy part.
Do I have to get to it?
Well, I mean, if you're going to get this far, you might as well get to the conspiracy part.
So, for all you athletes out there who want to win championships, Grand Prix, and everything in between, listen up. The key to success is to come to a Jonas Brothers show.
Okay.
It's basically the reverse of the Drake curse. Let's call it the Jonas Brothers. And just remember, it's not about how hard you practice, how naturally gifted you are. It's about the year 3000.
Right, right.
When you look me in the eyes, SOS.
The reverse of the Drake, man.
Sucker. Congrats to all you Jonas-loving athletes out there who were smart enough to come to a show. You deserve those championships.
I mean, for a fact, Drew Locke has been to a Jonas Brothers concert, right? For a fact.
I mean, it looks like he'd be to a Jonas Brothers concert.
I mean, I feel good. I feel very confident that Drew's been there. Oh, what's this? Like Mario Brothers.
So this is what has to happen? Drew Locke and his haircut need to go to a Jonas Brothers concert?
Apparently. It's the reverse of Drake. One day when I came
home at lunchtime. Turn it up a little bit. I want to see what they're saying. Oh, look at Richie. He loves it. If it was one of those ready boys. Neighbor called
Peter in a flex capacitor. He told me he built a sound. It's like the boy version of Avril Lavigne.
Yeah. Trying to figure out what's happening in this song. I hate it, but I get it.
D-Mac's so self-conscious about manhood, he can't listen to a 90-second conspiracy theory about the Jonas Brothers.
I hate it, but I get it. I'd rather talk about Bo Jackson a little bit because I think it's funny. Do you know what Bo Jackson said?
Yeah, I did.
Apparently, Bo Jackson, well, you got to hear this.
I watch technique. I don't see nobody hitting or wrapping up. Everybody's running into each other and trying to use their shoulder pads, but not the ball carrier down. And I'm like, if I played during this era, I'd be averaging 350, 400 yards a game.
And you would.
That's right. I would be average.
You did.
And because
yeah, put the Jonas Brothers on.
Up anymore. They run into each other.
There we go. See, now we're having a good time. Who wants to listen to Bo Jackson talking about getting 350 yards? I mean, come on, give me a break. Jonas Brothers, that's what we're talking about. It's not 6 minutes to have. It's Jonas Brothers.
All right, play the Jonas Brothers, and I'm going to play Bo Jackson over the Jonas Brothers.
Oh, now I might listen.
All right, here we go.
I watch technique. I don't see nobody hitting, wrapping up. Everybody's running into each other and trying to use their shoulder pads, but not the ball carrier down. And I'm like, if I played during this era, I'd be averaging 354.
Both knows the Jonas Brothers. Both knows the Jonas Brothers.
I would be average.
You did and
because nobody wraps up anymore. They run into each other.
Maybe the Jonas Brothers and Bo Jackson have something in common. They're both delusional. Dan Orlovsky saying mean things about Drew Locke. We'll hear that in person coming up next.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
Dan Orlovsky is a football analyzing Jesse is Mark Schlereth may say, and he is, oh, Dan, you all right? You out in your car? Hi, Dan, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing well, guys. I'm actually driving home, yeah, so I'm well. I'm good, I appreciate it. Good to be with you guys.
Well, we are thrilled that you spending some time with us. You were looking at Drew Lock, so let's just get right to it. What are you seeing with our guy, Drew Lock?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously watching, trying to watch every snap every single week, and so him missing out some games, I wanted to give him 2 weeks back coming off of the injury, and so, you know, I'll start with the good stuff that shows up on tape. I'd say that, one, you still see the athletic arm talent that is there. You know, that, and I think that's a really big deal at the quarterback spot in the NFL nowadays. You know, it's, you really no longer are the guys that, hey, if you drop the open jump shot and they knock it down, are those guys really big deals anymore? Like, you got to be able to go to the rim and get your own shot. You got to have the arm talent to do that. So, making those off balance, those funny body throws, those when the pocket shrinks down and I can't get my feet set, but accurate throws. You saw a lot of those in New England. You know, that's the good stuff. You see the willingness to be aggressive with the football. You know, when he's confident where he's supposed to go with the ball, he's aggressive with it and he places it in good spots. You know, getting him on the move has been something that has been nice over the past, since he's come back, really is. He's done a nice job of throwing on the run. Again, not something that should be watered down, that's easy. And he's made more consistent, good reads when he's on the move. So that's the stuff that he's doing well. But there's stuff that he needs to get cleaned up, and it's part of his progression. Number one, he's got to have a plan. Oh, you know, like, have a plan for pressure. Like, I feel like he gets to the line of scrimmage sometimes and, oh, they can blitz, you know? And so having a plan for pressure is so much about being proactive rather than reactive.
Yeah.
And you've got to know what your protection is and who on the defense will be a problem. Like, that pick six the other day, like, it just looks like he's surprised that they were bringing blitz and that they could play zero coverage and, oh, I'll throw it to that guy. And so he's got to get a lot better at that. You know, I think that his feet sometimes, like, just because you can make those funny body throws doesn't mean you should or that you need to. You know, like, get your feet in a much more, a better place. Like, you don't have to throw off balance when it's not needed. And so that needs to get much cleaner. And the third thing is, like, you don't have to necessarily put the ball in harm's way all the time. You know, like, I know that you've got a big, strong arm and that you're aggressive with it. But that's only needed in certain situations. You know, like, first down in the second quarter, like, you don't have to be aggressive with the football and put it in harm's way. So, you know, there's a fine line between being really confident and being a little reckless. And so I want to see him grow with, you know, not really needing to be reckless or be aggressive with the football and when situationally it's not the time.
Yeah. Dan, so fired up to have you on, man. I mean, everything you put out for me is just can't miss stuff. And when I saw you talking about Drew Lock, I was like, well, we got to get him on, man. And I, you know, Drew got crowned in the offseason very quickly after his first five games. And Denver's just been so desperate for a quarterback. I think that was part of it. And right now he's going through probably his first week of where the tide is really kind of it's shifted on him. And there's a lot of people that are doubting him and not believing him. Have you seen a moment from Drew Lock, a game, a half, anything where you would say, yeah, that was that moment like we've all seen with Justin Herbert or with Joe Burrow?
I lost you for a second since I'm in the car. Finish the last half of that question.
Yeah, mainly just asking, have you seen a moment from Drew Lock where it's just so obvious, like you, like when you watch Joe Burrow and when you watch Justin Herbert, it doesn't take long to know that's the dude. Have you seen anything like that from Drew?
No. You know, I think there was, you know what, that's unfair. You know, I think that there was moments where I felt that last year. Like some of the times, especially with him and Sutton hooking up, you go, that's what it's supposed to look like. Like, right there, that's what it's supposed to look like. Especially sometimes against pressure. But that hasn't been the case this year. You know, I would say this. The difference between a guy like Drew Lock and Justin Herbert is Justin Herbert is doing all the little stuff right. Like, he is so mechanically sound. He's this big athlete that's super smart, and he's got this powerful arm. But, like, when he has to go five steps, one hitch, and drive a seam, he goes five steps, one hitch, and drives the seam. You know, and so as much as, like, the talent shines, you've got to, like, you've got to be able to do to have the talent, but also do the mundane, the boring, the what is deemed unnecessary. Because here's the thing, like, again, this goes back to, like, Drew knows he can do some of those throws or make some of those throws with his without the proper mechanics and fundamentals. But just because you can doesn't mean you should, right? Mm-hmm. And so, like, Justin does not do that. Joe Burrow sees the field as good as any 10-year vet in the NFL. Like, his ability to see the field and change protections and get the ball out when pressure is coming is absolutely outstanding. He's not surprised. He's proactive. He has a plan. Every single time they go, ready, break, he's got a plan. And that's where Drew is lagging behind on those guys.
We're talking with Dan Orlovsky. Dan, you're harping on the same stuff I've been talking about. I've been saying Drew needs to get to the line of scrimmage and pre-snap identify what is the coverage. And most of the time, that's going to tell him where he needs to put the ball without even going through his progressions. And you're talking about his footwork. Same stuff I've been talking about. Realistically, how long does it take for a quarterback to get better at those sort of things?
Yeah, well, that depends on the coaching. You know, I mean, if the coach, you get what you demand, right? And so if that coaching staff, like I've said this about, who did I say this about? What young quarterback? I forget. It might have been Daniel Jones or something. Drew Lock would never have a second in practice that he just did nothing, that he just stood around and chatted with the teammates. Or like in certain periods, there's not something that's going on with the quarterback. Sometimes it's special teams. Sometimes it's a defensive walkthrough. Like, if you harp on that stuff and make it the absolute foundation of what you want to become, I think you're looking at within your first 3 years of the NFL, within next season, he can get a lot better at it. Like, for me, I learned under guys like Gary Kubiak and Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay and Steve Mariucci, where, like, we never had a second off in practice. And, you know, if it was a Saturday night meeting – and we had offensive meetings, and Tyler, you know, like, offensive meetings start at 7:30. No, they don't. Not for you, young man. Like, you're sitting down with me at 6 o'clock. Matt LaFleur would sit there with me when I was a young player. And an hour and a half before our quarterback meeting would start, he would get Coop's call sheet, and he would go, here's the call sheet. I'm going to read it off to you. You got to give me every progression on this sheet versus certain coverages we're going to see. All right, 200 jets, Lion Dragon, what are you doing with the football versus cover three? Bop, 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 bop. And so that becomes this muscle memory of my brain, of your brain, to know what you're looking for when you break the huddle. Third down, hey, we're calling F choice. What's the read? And so, you know, I think that part of it becomes, you know, what the coaches are demanding of him, and the same stuff up on the field. You know, like, we're walking through everything. You're going to show me what your feet need to be doing in every single play with our progressions. And so, you know, I think it's stuff that is coachable, and it's correctable, and it's stuff that you can get better at.
All right, Dan, we'll let you run after this. Final question for you. Have you at least seen enough from Drew to make you feel like he could be the guy?
Oh, yeah, because there's talent you can't coach. You know, there's – like, listen, you don't find 6'3", 220-pound, you know, quarterbacks that can move, that are athletic, and that have the ability to make some of those throws from some of those arm angles. You need that to be really, really good in the NFL nowadays. If you don't have that, it's really difficult to be a really good quarterback. And so I think, you know, really early, I think this is a 10th start, right? About, like, we're a ways away from making the full-term evaluation. But, yeah, there's enough there to go, I'm hanging on for sure.
Dan, we appreciate it. Thanks for being on with us.
Thanks, brother.
You got it, guys.
Dan Orlovsky from ESPN. There's something in there that he said that I want to run past you. It was a very interesting comment. We'll get there. Plus, we'll look at Gus Bradley's defense for the Chargers with football at four next.